Amen. It sure is good to see everyone this morning. I know we have several that's out traveling and what have you, but I'm thankful to see the ones that's able to be here. Thankful to see all these young people here. I know school's right around the corner. It's about that time for our young people there, but it's so good to see you. I'm glad you're here with us this morning, and just kind of got my heart in a lot of different places. Had a message last night and woke up with a different thought on my heart this morning. And so if this doesn't seem like a polished message, it's probably not going to be one, but it's absolutely from the heart. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that because, like I said, I guess Wednesday night or maybe other times or in recent weeks, there's a different feeling when the Lord is putting his hand on you, when he's working with you. And I believe he does that for a reason, to guide us the way that he would have us to go. And I really desire your prayers, and I just want to say this. I want to ask you for your forgiveness. I don't feel like I have been what I should be in a lot of times. What I mean by that is, me and Brandy's talked about this probably more than anything. This is off the cuff, Brandy, I'm telling you. If you want to turn Facebook off, you can. If you want to leave it on, that's fine too. I mean, just is what it is. But no, everything's fine. I don't want you to think of falling apart or nothing like that. But one of the biggest thing that Brandy and I have talked about that we feel that we have failed with is visiting people, getting around and seeing people, getting out to people. And I know maybe to some folks that might be more important than others, and that's fine. And I understand the importance with it. What it says here in James, it actually says this. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Talking about the importance of taking care of your people and being out there for them, being with them. And I believe in that. But one of the hardest things I think I've ever tried to do was be everything to everybody and be everywhere at the same time. I just want to say this. Being bivocational as a pastor, and I'm not looking for any pity. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I'm just being honest with you. It's hard. It's not always easy to be everything that you're supposed to be in this place and be everywhere you're supposed to be in this place. But the one scripture that the Lord laid on my heart when I woke up this morning was plainly and simply this. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Remembering what God has called us to do, the importance of doing what he would have us to do. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's called me to be the pastor of this church. And I want to be the best pastor that I can be for you. I want you to know that. From the bottom of my heart, I mean that. You say, do you mean that? I do mean that. But I tell you, I don't know. I don't know. Trying to balance work life sometimes and pastor life sometimes, it gets hard. It gets hard. There's only so much time in the day. You say, why are you saying all this? Why are you saying all this? Because I want you to help me to pray. I want to be here more. I want to be what you need as a pastor. I'm telling you, in these last days, that's the most important thing. These little people over here, that's the most important thing. I want to tell you this. I thought about this week, church. The Lord just lays things out the way that he does. And he just laid this on my heart, just as plain as he could. He's like, if I knew that the Lord was coming, let's say 2 weeks in a month, 2 weeks or a month, if I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was coming, what would I do? How would that change my life? I've asked you that question before. How would that change my life? And my answer to God as I was praying about this was, Lord, I would lay all these other things down and I'd focus on the church. And I'm telling you, church, I'm thinking that's what he's wanting me to do. I desire your prayers. I desire your prayers. I desire your prayers along those lines. It's something me and Brandy talked about, and this was not planned for today, but I want to lay that out there to you because I want you to know I want to be everything that I can be for you. I know sometimes there's realistic expectations, unrealistic, but I want you to know that this morning that I love you and I appreciate you. And I'm here for you any way that I can be, and I want you to know that. But if you will, let's turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, and we'll look at verses 22 through 25. Now, this is more so talking about the workplace. The reason this kind of came to my heart, my mind, I know that school's getting ready to start back up. I know for many, with the students coming back, it's probably going to be busier than it has been or what have you. But, you know, maybe by way of encouragement, kind of how we're supposed to conduct ourselves as Christians in the workplace. Very good scripture here that Paul's given us in Colossians. Very simple, very straightforward, but I thought it'd be good for us to think about it. Simple title this morning is Your Heart In It? Is Your Heart In It? That's the key that you'll see here in remembering who that we actually work for and what we're here to do. It's talking about servants in the workplace and how we are to conduct ourselves for those who are still in the workforce, working for others. It gives us a commandment in how we're supposed to do that. And I thank God in His Word that He does that. In all things, He gives us commandment. And He teaches us things. But it says here, it says again, Colossians chapter number 3, verse 22. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give your servants, given to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have masters in heaven." But that's on down in verse one of chapter 4. We'll stop with 25 there. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know our hearts this morning, God, and Lord, we just want to do what you'd have us to do here. God, I just pray for your help. Lord, I pray for your forgiveness. God, I want to be who you'd have me to be for our church, Lord. That's the most important, God. Just as I serve you, God, I want you to be pleased. And I want our people to be helped. Lord, I want to lead our young people to Christ and help them, God, our young couples. Lord, our young people, other people in the church, never to be forgetting of anybody, God. Everybody has needs all throughout different stages of their life, God. And I just pray that you help us with that. Help us as a church. Help me as a pastor, God, to never lose sight of that, God, and always see the importance. And God, I pray that you help us. God, I pray that you help me. God, lead me and guide me in your will. God, I know all provision is yours. God, I know you have all things, God, and we just want to align with your word and align with what you'd have us to do in our lives, God. But God, I pray you be with our young people. Again, Lord, our lost people. God, I pray that you save them. God, I pray that you help them to see that their need of salvation. God, I pray you help us all here today. Help us as older ones, God, that are mentoring and trying to help our younger people. God, I pray that you help us, Lord. God, go with us today, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 We see here some commandments that are given. And if you read back through Colossians 3, you see kind of different orders. See, our God is a God of order. And it gives different orders, the way we're supposed to carry out our life and our calling and the way that we're supposed to live out our calling. And then you come on over here and how our order is to be in the home. And then it also gives order in the workplace. And I think that's very good. I think really, for the most part, most people probably spend most of their time in the workforce. Those that haven't retired maybe or what have you are still working. 40 hours a week is a lot of time. And I think in this day and time, people spend probably more than 40 hours a week at work. I believe there's many times that there's phone calls, emails, and things that are answered probably after that time, and work never really seems to stop. It's like a 7-day-a-week business anymore, and there's really not a lot of shutdown. But what it gives us here is the way, the order that things are supposed to be in the workplace and how servants are supposed to obey their masters. And I know that's a big word. Obey. People take offense to that sometimes, but simply it's just complying with the request that the master, the boss, or what have you. I heard a lot of people call it boss, and I don't ever want to be a boss. I'd rather be a good leader than a boss. I just want to tell you that this morning. I just don't think that's the way it's supposed to be when you're talking about servant leadership. But servants are to obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, but not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, you've probably had experiences, if you've ever been in the workforce any length of time at all, you've probably had good people to work for and not so good people to work for. You have somebody that's good to work for, it's a blessing. You have somebody that's not good to work for, it's pretty hard. Especially when you're talking about several hours a week and how that dread can pick up and how things can kind of lay on you and build up on you and you kind of carry those things around. But what the Lord is saying here, let's remember the what, the who, and the why. That's a couple of things or three things there for us to remember and to look at. He's saying here, not with eye service, but we're supposed to obey with singleness of heart. That means sincerity of heart. That what we are saying is, you know, I know maybe at times this is a hard place or different place to work or maybe a hard situation, but it's not that we're going to do this just as with eye service trying to please somebody, but we're going to do it with sincerity of the heart. I think one place that Christians could probably lose their testimony pretty quick would probably be the workplace. You know, when things are always going good, it's easy. It's easy. You're not having so much to try to ward off things, defend things, or maybe put your faith to the test or what have you. But when things are hard, that's truly when you and I are being tested. One thing that I was told is what character is. Character, integrity, testimony. When I was at the sheriff's department, I remember us talking about that. And the sheriff set us down, had a talk with us, and he said that character is doing what is right when nobody is looking. You've heard that. But then he said, somebody's always looking. And that's exactly right. I know more so that's probably talking about body cameras and things like that, but I want you to know this morning, God is always looking at what we're doing. He knows what's in that heart. Is it in your heart? Is your heart in it? Is what I'm asking this morning, is your heart in it? He knows. He knows. He's saying here, not just doing things when it looks like it's convenient, when everything's everybody's looking, everybody's watching, everybody's seeing everything. You think, well, I might get a little credit for this because people are watching. It's what you're doing when nobody's looking at all. There's a lot of times in the workplace that comes to be. Nobody's looking. It's just there's this thing, whatever it might be that comes up, the importance of doing it right, that's how you know who you really are. Not just when somebody else is looking. It says, not with eye service, as men pleasers. You look at the word men pleasers, and I actually looked that up. I had an idea what it meant, but the definition, that means careful or concerned to please men rather than to please God. You know, I think that is kind of where we're at today. Probably been that place for a long time. People are more concerned with maybe trying to keep the boss happy than keeping the Lord happy. Think maybe if I keep the boss happy and he, she are happy with me or what have you, then maybe everything will be better for me. Maybe I'll get that promotion. Maybe I'll get this. But God is saying you better be more concerned about what I'm telling you to do, how I'm telling you to live, how I'm telling you to be. Say, preacher, you really going to preach on that this morning? Yes, because we spend so much time there. People do. I'll tell you, probably throughout the week, that's probably where our minds are about the most. Am I being right? Those that are at work? Those hard things or bad things that ride on you day in, day out, and you take it home, and then you have it with you at home during night until you go to bed, and then you start the next morning, you get to do it again. 5 days a week sometimes. Just saying, it's not always hard and bad, but when it is, it really lays on you. Again, it says here, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. It's remembering what our testimony is all about. You know, we spend a lot of time with people at work, and you think about being a testimony to them, a blessing to them, wanting to be a witness to some there. And I tell you, a lot of times you might not know what to say or might be limited in what you can say in some capacities, but they're always watching what we're doing to see how we respond to these bad things. It's one thing I've learned is being in a supervisory role. It's one thing when you're just an employee and kind of taking what comes down the line, but it's another thing when you're kind of in the middle sometimes and things come down, and when you're relaying it to your people, they're looking at you to see how you are going to respond. Sometimes they kind of take on that personality or that attitude afterwards, and you don't want that to be a bad attitude, do you? You don't want it to be wrong. You want it to be what God would have it to be, because it's saying here, fearing God. Now remember and look at this verse. Well, I'll read a couple of verse here from Psalms 118:8. It says it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I believe that is a very easy thing to follow. Always fearing God and respecting His sovereignty. That's the what. That's what we are to do. That's how we are supposed to act. In verse number 23, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." You know, sometimes in the workplace, I've had different jobs and done different things, and some things I really love to do, and then there's some things I really hated to do. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'd just soon take a beating, I guess. I'll say it like this. I remember when I was at the police department, at the sheriff's department, you didn't have to worry about it so much, but I didn't like doing wreck reports. 1050s is what they call them. I didn't like doing a wreck report. It was very tedious, and you had to decide all this and all that. I didn't like doing that. Some people love doing that. That's why I wouldn't want to be a trooper. You're doing that all the time. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't. You had some people that love it. Thank the Lord for them. But I actually got to a place that it was like, you know what? This is the one thing that I dread to do more than anything. I'm going to try to be the best at it that I can be so I don't dread it so much. You know, one of the things the Lord spoke to my heart about, and something as simple as that, if you'll do these things as if you're doing it for me, to me, He said, I'll help you through it. Isn't that something? Jobs, all jobs have bad parts to it, bad things to it. I'm not harping on just the job, but that's what these verses are talking to. You can take that in any part of life, I believe. But I'm telling you, the Lord is going to help us remember who we work for. It's the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's just working in the church or working out at the university or wherever it is you work. If you're a child of God, you work for the Lord. And that's what He's relaying to us here. And to do it heartily, with all of your heart, everything that you've got. Psalm 119, 10 and 11, it says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." You see how David took the approach? He looked for the Lord with his whole heart. When you ever really get serious about business with the Lord, you have to find a way that you put your whole heart into it. I don't know, I guess for me, really, kind of the way I look at things, the way I've adopted things, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And if there's different things in my life, I don't care what it is, if it's a small task or if it's a very big, hard, complex task, I want it to be done the very best it can be. And my problem is, Mama talked to you about it yesterday. My problem is, I don't care what kind of task it is, if it's something that I deem worthy, I put my whole heart into it. I do. And that's why I get my heart broken sometimes, because I don't feel like I'm fulfilling it as the way that I should. And that breaks my heart. I don't want people to be disappointed. I don't want people to be hurt. But what the Bible teaches us here, it's more important to be worried about what God thinks about it. And I definitely don't want Him to be upset and Him to be hurt. I don't want that. With my actions, I don't want that. He's saying here, remember this here, heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you see, you serve the Lord Christ. It's reminding us who we actually work for day in, day out. Day in, day out. That's what being faithful is. It's not just what we do in here in the church a couple of times or a couple of days a week. It's what we do in the workplace or wherever we are all the time, every day of the week. That's what it's about. He's saying, remember here, for you serve the Lord Christ. He's reminding us here. It's remembering who we work for, the who. Always having that attitude that we're supposed to have for the Lord. That doesn't mean things aren't going to upset us and make us mad. I know that. I understand that. There's absolutely a time to, if you will, take a stand or pull somebody aside and talk to them. I'm absolutely all for that and understand that. But we should never forget the who we actually work for. And the importance of that. You know, it talks about here also in the Bible that there is a reward. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Talking about what we receive in heaven. For ye serve the Lord Christ. I want to read something to you. In Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation 22. Just a couple of verses here. Revelation 22, 12 through 14. This is the Lord talking. He's talking about when He returns. Think about what this would be like. thought about it this morning. You know, I don't know when the Lord's going to return, and we none do. But as often as people, as much, many hours, if you will, that the Lord comes, or that we work during the week, that the probability of the Lord coming while somebody's at work is a high probability. You understand what I'm saying? I think I always envision it, well, he'll come on a Sunday morning while we're at church, and we'll just all go together. I don't know exactly how that's going to be. It'll be daytime somewhere, nighttime somewhere. Revelation 22, 12 through 14, this is what the Lord is saying here. And he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You see, he's not a respecter of persons. See how he is when he does this? Is I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Thought that was very interesting there, and how he, when he comes and when he's going to return, that's what it's going to be like. He brings his reward with him. Going back here into Colossians. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You look here at verse 25 again, but Romans 2, 11 through 16. I'm going to read this real quick. Short message this morning, by the way. Romans 2, 11 through 16. It says, for there is no respecter of persons with God. If you remember on Wednesday night, talking about King Hezekiah, he wasn't a very upstanding fella. I mean, he was an all right person. He was a better king than what they'd had. So many of the kings prior to them had done things so worse. They'd done what was right in their eyes. But one thing that King Hezekiah had going for him, he was taking a step in the right direction. He was actually wanting to follow God. Prior to his actions, he had nothing to back that up. But we see that when he tore those high places down, he was doing that to seek God. And you see, God honored that because of his actions. Again, here, verse 11, it says, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. As many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do as by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. He's talking about even the Gentiles doing those things that they're supposed to, even it's against their own nature, has a law unto themselves is what it's saying. Even the Gentiles could get it right. Again, knowing that the Jews are God's chosen people, it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You see here, again, is it in your heart? God knows what's in our heart. I'm not telling you something that you haven't heard or that you don't already know. But God knows what's in your heart this morning. I tell you, I'm not going to just carry it on and drag it out. I'll read this one more time, and then that's going to be the message this morning. It says again, verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I just want to leave that with you this morning, that there's no getting by. God will judge us for what we do or what we don't do, regardless if you're lost or if you're saved. God is the judge. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in there. He knows our intentions, if we meant to do right or didn't, if we got it right or got it wrong. He knows that. But I just ask you this morning, if you will, to stand with me. I'll ask you, is your heart in it this morning? Is your heart in it? I'll invite the ladies to come and we'll have a time of invitation, a time of prayer this morning.